Yes, you're listening to Law and Gospel. I'm Tom Baker on this March the 24th in the year of our Lord 2017. And this is an open mic Friday. What does that mean? It means you can call me in with a theological question to the studio. You take over the microphone. The number in St. Louis is 821-0850. Toll free is 1-800-730-2727. And we gave out the phone number and the email to myself, law and gospel at lawandgospel101.com. And we're going to begin by responding to an email that we received from Jim. Jim, thanks for sending this in. Dear Pastor Baker, in your long gospel broadcast, you use the word remember in a way that caught my attention. In reference to the Lord's Supper, you stated another way to look at what Jesus said when he stated, "Do this in remembrance of me." You took the phrase and turned it around to mean that Jesus also remembers me. I'm having much trouble understanding your use of the word remember in this way. One of the main definitions of this word is to bring to mind again or to recall. In this sense, it seems to imply that something that was known might have been forgotten and needs to be brought to mind again, that something needs to be called to mind, recalled. As I understand it, one of the attributes of God's character is that he is all-knowing or omniscient. This is defined as having total or infinite knowledge, or to know everything in an unlimited way. In this sense, God is ever mindful and always aware, and because of that, he never needs to recall anything or bring it to his mind again. It is always there. Man, on the other hand, with his very limited capacity, often needs to be reminded of things because he doesn't always remember. God's eyes are never off his creation, and he is constantly aware of what is going on with each and every one of us. The loving Father's children are never out of his sight, and because of this, he never needs to remember us in the way that we use the word remember. So, let us always try to remember that God never has to remember anything. He's omniscient, all-knowing, is a continuously present, never-ending term. What am I missing in your use of this word as it refers to the Lord's Supper? Thanks for reading this. I hope you can help me. And that's from Jim. Well, I did a little study on this, and I've been looking at this translation, "Do this in my remembrance of you," for some time. And so I've got a little bit that I'm going to say about it. But first of all, we do want to take folks who are phoning in. So we'll begin first with them. And then I'm going to get back to this understanding of remember. I will do it prior to the end of the program. But let's go talk with Marilyn. Marilyn, you're on the air.
Well, good morning, Pastor.
Hi.
I have two questions.
Sure.
One is on the word resurrection. Can it or should it ever be used in any way except in reference to our Savior? And the other thing I wanted to question about is Luke 6:26, where Jesus said, "Woe to you when all men speak well of you." And I thought we're always supposed to speak well of people. And I'll hang up and listen. That's all right.
Marilyn, what was your first question about the resurrection?
How can it or should it ever be used in any way except in speaking about our Savior?
Well, let me just answer this while you're on the line. Don't you believe that your body is going to also be resurrected from the dead?
Well,
therefore, that's another way to speak of the resurrection.
Okay.
Okay, and then as to your second question, woe to you when people speak well of you. If you take a look at the context, that's in your witnessing. And remember the Sermon on the Mount? Blessed are you when people persecute you. In other words, if the world speaks well of radio station KFUO, then we're not doing our job. Because the world is filled with unbelievers. And therefore, they're not going to speak well when, for example, Marilyn, one of the things we say, the world is filled with such sinners that there is nothing you can do to contribute or cooperate in your salvation, being saved. See, the world doesn't like that, and they're not going to speak well. God isn't talking about what a Christian should do in speaking well, but rather, if people are always applauding you and they're unbelievers, then either you're not making it clear what the Christian message is, or they are reinterpreting what you're saying to fit their ideas. Is that helpful?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you so much, and God bless you.
And God bless you too, Marilyn. All righty. And as calls come in, we'll take them, but I want to get to this idea about my understanding, which I borrowed from a professor who I really enjoy and admire, that Jesus isn't just saying, do this in remembrance of me, but do this in my remembrance of you in regard to the Lord's Supper. I want to begin by starting with a definition that Jim has in regarding remember. One of the main definitions of this word is to bring to mind again or to recall. Now, if that's going to be your definition of remember, then I can understand that there's nothing that God has to bring to mind in the sense that he forgot. But the word remember, even in the English, is used in a way that really has nothing to do with the mind or the memory. For example, and I've given this example, two boys are fighting, one hits the other one says, I'm going to remember this. What does he mean? He's not going to keep it in his mind. It means he's going to get even. Another time I used, if you remember your wife's birthday, that doesn't mean that you tell her the day after, oh, I had you on my mind all day. It means she gets a present. This is really important to remember. Well, that's interesting. That remember doesn't mean remember, according to the English dictionary, at all times. Sometimes it does. Like God will talk about remembering what he had done when he took the people of Israel out of Egypt. But let me read to you a passage from Jeremiah 31 that makes very clear that remember can't mean just God's omniscience. It's verse 31 of Jeremiah 31. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Now, what is that new covenant? Part of it is, I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. Oh, whoa, whoa. That is such an important text that it's quoted by the writer of the Hebrews in chapter 10. This is a covenant with them. I will put the laws in their hearts, write them on their minds. And then, this is verse 17, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Now, obviously, we can interpret that to refer that God is losing his omniscience. That's not what he's talking about when he says he's not going to remember your sins anymore. What does that mean? It means he's not going to hold you accountable to them. In fact, one can say that the word forgiveness means God is no longer going to remember your sins. This is really, really critical. This idea that God has to also have a way of remembering does not disagree with the Bible. In fact, let me give you an example where God himself says that he's going to remember something because of something. It's after the flood of Noah. He says, God, I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. But then what does God do in verse 12? And this is Genesis 9. This is the sign of the covenant that I will make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Now, listen to verse 15. I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the rainbow is in the clouds, now this is verse 16, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. I think this is critical, that when God gives a sign, it's a way that he is remembering what? Not what happened. It's not a memory thing. It's rather he's going to remember to fulfill his promises. Well, are you saying that he forgot? No. I'm just saying that to remember his covenant means that never again will a flood destroy all flesh. And when that occurs, or I should say, as that does not occur, one can easily say, oh, God is remembering this. For example, in baptism. Baptism, like the Lord's Supper, is not the thing we do. We don't say, God, remember that you made a promise in baptism. No. We baptize the child, and we know that the child has received faith because God is remembering his promise, which means he's fulfilling his promise. I want to get away from this idea that every time you use the word remember, that it means something with the memory. In fact, in the Hebrew, the word remember is zakar, and it can mean to remember, to recall, to call to mind, but it also can mean to keep in remembrance, to make a memorial. Make a memorial. What does that mean? Well, there were a number of times that God had the people of Israel make a memorial, and that reminded them and him of the promises. For example, let's take a look at other passages. Exodus chapter 2, 23 to 25. During those many days, the king of Egypt died, and the people of Israel groaned because of their slavery and cried out for help. Their cry for rescue from slavery came up to God. Now, you know, what does that mean? It came up to God. Didn't he already hear it? Well, of course, but it's a way of reminding us that God heard it. And God heard their groaning. Now, here we go. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. God saw the people of Israel and knew. In other words, what does it mean that he remembered his covenant? That it came back to his mind? No, it's always in his mind. But it means now he's going to fulfill the promise that was connected with that covenant. 2 Chronicles 6:42, O Lord God, do not turn away the face of your anointed one. Remember your steadfast love for David, your servant. I got more verses here on Remember, but as I promised, it's Open Mic Friday, so we'll go to the lines, and I think we're talking to James. Hi, James.
Hello, Pastor. How are you?
I'm doing good. Good to hear you.
It's good to hear you also. I'd like to know, is Isaiah 49, verses 15 and 16, an example of divine remembrance? And what covenantal promise would that be associated with?
All right. Let me read it. Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. Wow. I think that's an excellent verse. In fact, if I had thought about it, I would have included it here. Because what does it mean that a woman should not forget her nursing child? It means that she would not forget to have compassion on it. It doesn't mean that she has a nursing child and then it falls out of the crib and, oh, I didn't forget. Yep, it fell out of the crib. No, it means not forgetting the child means she would make sure that the crib is built in such a way and located in such a way that the baby could not fall out. So it's an excellent example of how she has made a promise to that child when it was born. Remember, most mothers will say, I love you, I will always be with you, this sort of thing. So to remember her child, this is a great example, James, of what I'm trying to say. It doesn't have really anything to do with a memory. It's really talking about fulfilling a promise you have made.
Yes, and she also does not forget the child of her womb, and she's having compassion for the child that's presently there with her. And I'd like to know if there's any covenantal promises that I can associate with that. And I'll hang up on this.
Okay, thank you very much. That was our good friend James. Always has good questions. Covenantal promise. It's the next verse. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. As I live, the Lord declares, you shall put them all on as an ornament. You shall bind them as a bride does. Now, bride, does that remind you of something? Jesus is the groom. The church is the bride. So all the way from the promises of Adam and Eve to them through the serpent that a Savior would come, which they believed according to Genesis 4, verse 1, to Abraham that through him he would have a son named Isaac who would be a blessing to all the families of the earth. And throughout the whole Old Testament books, you see again and again the promise being made by God and then fulfilled. So I think you can take a look at any of the covenantal promises, but the best one, of course, would be Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34. In Exodus 2:24, it says, God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. Now, that doesn't mean that God said, that's right, I made a covenant. No. It means he began to fulfill it. Just like if I remember my wife's birthday or if I remember somebody who did something kind to me, I try and provide something that they appreciate. That's what we mean by remember. Remember. Hannah wanted to have a child. And according to 1 Samuel 1:19, she and her husband Elkanah worshiped before the Lord, and the Lord remembered her. And in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Samuel, for she said, I have asked for him from the Lord. Again and again, God is said to be remembering his holy promise. Look at Psalm 115. This is one of the closest ones to what I'm trying to say with the Lord's Supper. The Lord has remembered us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both the small and the great. I contend is that is what the meaning of remember is in the Lord's Supper. Do this in my remembrance of you, which means he is going to bless you. What blessing do you receive in the Lord's Supper? You receive the forgiveness of sins. Wow. In Luke 1:54, even in the New Testament, we have God remembering and therefore not just thinking of something, but doing something. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. Luke 1:54. Now, what mercy? The mercy that he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to offspring forever. So, I would say to Jim, there are two meanings of the word remember in the Bible. The first one is the one that you did explain, namely, just bringing to mind again or to recall. But I'll tell you, that's not very comforting in regard to the Lord's Supper. In fact, that particular understanding that we're to do this in remembrance of what Jesus did for us leads even congregations only to have the Lord's Supper maybe once a year, maybe once a month. Because how often do you forget about what Jesus has done? But when you realize that the Lord's Supper is a remembering of you, in that in receiving the true body and the true blood of Jesus Christ, you therefore are being blessed by God by receiving all the benefits that he has provided to you, namely his body and his blood, the forgiveness of sins, the robe of righteousness, and countless other activities. Yes, during this Lenten season, we are remembering what the Lord did for us. But I haven't yet done a sermon about remembering during Lent and even the series I do at Trinity Orchard Farm in regard to the seven words from the cross. Every sermon just doesn't remind you of what Jesus said. It instead ties that remembrance of Jesus to a benefit, a blessing, a wonderful gift that has been given to you. For example, a Wednesday night, my God, why have you forsaken me? Well, we just didn't remind the people that Jesus did that. But we also made this point, that because Jesus was forsaken by the Father, because he had on himself your sins, no believer will ever be forsaken by God. That Jesus did for us. And therefore, every believer who trusts in the promises of the gospel will be remembered by God in the sense of receiving the wonderful gift of the forgiveness of sins and the robe of righteousness. So, I'm quite content to recognize that the original Greek allows in the Lord's Supper not only to say, do this in remembrance of me, but do this in my remembrance of you. And therefore, two things are happening in the Lord's Supper. Yes, we're remembering what Jesus has done, but he is also remembering what has happened to us. We're out of time. Monday, we're going to be continuing with the Lenten series of Bible studies for the following Sunday. We're getting near the end of Lent, moving into Holy Week. And by the way, this remember thing would be a pretty good item to preach for Monday, Thursday, when we remember the Lord's Supper. I'm Tom Baker. Till Monday, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.